Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate to come on FanDuel. I'm your host, Sean Kane, and I started Jacob DeGrom. I, too, like you, like thousands of other Americans out there today, unfortunately had Jacob DeGrom in over half of my lines on the night when he gives up 7 earned runs in under 4 innings. I got nothing. I had no idea. I think it was all in his head, I got to be honest with you. And it all started with old Goggles McGraw, Steven Sogard, Eric Sogard. And I tweeted this out. Eric Sogard's goggles, he has the same goggles as my dad. My dad has those goggles. And my dad is a 59-year-old corporate attorney who enjoys jogging. And he plays pickup basketball with some of his older friends in those goggles. He likes volunteering. Playing golf. And Eric Sogard and him have the same goggles. So that says a lot about Eric Sogard. I think my father... It also says a lot about my dad, actually. It also says a lot about my dad. Who's a pretty dorky dude. But hey, what are you going to do, man? He just keeps taking walks. I think that first walk rattled DeGrom. He was like, God, man, this guy won't swing. He won't swing at anything. Didn't swing at anything. Sure enough, Thames takes him yard. He's all in his own head. You know, it's interesting. I was watching his pitch location, and it was honestly like the first 4 pitches of every at-bat, he hit his spot every single time. Boom, 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 and just dust in the corners. Beautiful stuff. And then one ball, he'd try to get, you know, a breaking ball to get a guy to bite on it, and they wouldn't bite on it. And then all of a sudden, he'd be, you know, 2-1. And he'd be thinking about how he missed his location. Okay, missed the second pitch. Then all of a sudden, it's 2-2, and they foul one off, and da-da-da-da-da, you know. And the Brewers are extending these at-bats. And they would take these pitchers' counts, and they would use DeGrom against himself and flip him into hitters' counts very quickly just by fighting with foul balls that were strikes and... waiting for him to miss spots on breaking balls and not swinging at him. And that was what happened. And it worked. And then they just started hitting. So it was, you know, it's tilting for sure. Very tilting. But this is DFS. And, you know, luckily I got one Scherzer lineup out there. Smart enough to hedge a little bit. One Scherzer lineup. So we'll see how that goes. That was also my White Sox lineup. So we'll see. I got to get my White Sox. White Sox got to get going here, man. They got a couple things going for them, though. They're doing it. They're doing their thing. But hey, what are you going to do? It was a nice early slate. Huge scores on the early slate. Holy smokes, man. Shout out to some of the guys in the Slack community, specifically Scott. Scott hit like 280, 290 with one of his lines. He had multiple double dongs, won himself some serious cash, and I mean everybody in the Slack community, we were talking on the early slate, which is, by the way, one of the advantages of being a Lineup Logic subscriber, patreon.com/lineuplogic. Not only do you get the cheat sheet, you get the Slack community. So, you know, guys are sitting there at work, they're on Slack chatting with us about their early lineups because we didn't put out a pod for the early slate. But everybody's talking takes. We're all talking about our opinions, a different this, that, and the other thing. We've got, you know, Casey Bogeslaw's barrel data right in front of us. We're looking at all the ideas. We're talking about how, you know, we need Houston exposure, all that kind of stuff, exchanging lineups, all that good stuff. Bottom line is like everybody was hitting, everybody in the Slack community hit 200. We were all over Straley. We were all over Houston. It was awesome. And we didn't even have a cheat sheet because, you know, that's the beauty of the Slack community is that we're able to exchange lineup ideas and work this stuff through. And that's, you know, one thing I want to say before we move on with the rest of the show, and we're going to get there. June 1st, here it is. We're on June 1st. It is Thursday, June 1st, and it is the beginning of a new month. head over to patreon.com/lineuplogic. One full month of a cheat sheet for every single weekday slate. You get stack ideas, you get pitching suggestions, you get important research notes from me, Josh, Scott, Ryan. You get access to the Slack channel where you're talking about lineups with other guys who, you know, none of these guys are meatheads. Nobody is an idiot. Everybody plays DFS regularly. Nice guys, good ideas, willing to answer questions. We pipe in an entire feed into the Slack channel of barrel alerts, lineup notifications, injury notifications. It's all right there in the Slack channel. You don't even have to use Twitter if you don't want. And the beautiful thing about Slack is a lot of people already have it at work. It's just an app that you can use on your phone or on your desktop that a lot of people use at work already. And so, boom, there you are all day thinking about DFS, listening to the pod, getting ideas, talking to people. Cheat Sheet comes out every day at about 3 o'clock. And it's a beautiful way to help you guys build your lineups. And $10 for an entire month subscription is pretty much the best price for a research product that you can get out there. You know, me, Josh, Spectre, and KG out there filling out the cheat sheet. Patreon.com/lineuplogic. Absolutely worth it. You know, for a lot of guys, it pays off within the first week. Just because you're making better decisions about your lineups, you're talking strategy, that kind of thing. So, you know, it's not to say that we are immune to things like playing DeGrom, but hey, that happens. All right, enough about that. We are in June. Very exciting. Baseball is in full force, and we have two slates that we're going to talk about today. We have an early slate and then a main slate divided into, I believe, 4 and 4. 4 and 4. 4 games on the late early slate, 4 games on the late slate. So let's jump in and let's talk about what we got. All right. So first things first, early slate. We've got Oakland at Cleveland. Jarrell Cotton against Corey Kluber. Corey Kluber is one of the heaviest favorites on the slate here in this case. Really, really a good spot for Kluber. Plenty of Ks in this Oakland lineup. 8 runs projected here, and about 5 of those runs belong to Cleveland, according to Vegas. Milwaukee at the Mets. 8.5 runs projected here as Chase Anderson goes up against Zach Wheeler. The Brewers, they're getting hot. They're kind of clicking right now. It's very, you know, it's very interesting to see. Wheeler has been meh, I guess is the best word. Anderson has also been meh. We'll talk a little bit about that. You know, now that I'm kind of seeing this Brewers lineup wake up, it's making me a little bit more interested in some Brewers exposure in this spot. Dodgers Cardinals here, 8 runs projected, Brandon McCarthy and Adam Wainwright. And McCarthy is a slight favorite coming back from injury. He has not pitched since, he was out for a little while and then he pitched in the series against Chicago, and pitched a gem in that series against Chicago. You know, good to have him back. He was out. That's right. He was out at the beginning of May. So he's definitely worth considering here in this spot, and we will talk about him because pitching is not a sure thing here. Wainwright, not so much, not interested. He got hit pretty hard, I believe, in that last Dodgers series, if I remember correctly. He didn't pitch that Dodgers series. I'm sorry. I was thinking of Michael Walker. He didn't pitch that Dodgers series. But, yeah, I'm just not that interested in Wainwright. He's been good this year, very, very, very steady. But there's just too many lefties in this lineup for me to feel like he's safe at Busch Stadium tomorrow. And then the last game of the early slate, Colorado-Seattle, 8.5 runs projected here. Kyle Freeland and Yovani Gallardo. And the Rockies are actually dogs in this game. Which is says a lot about, I guess it says a lot about their confidence in Gallardo. And it's interesting. I was like, immediately I saw Gallardo's name on this slate, and I was like, oh, well, we're going after Gallardo. And then I started looking at the splits, and I was like, no, maybe we're not. He's just been kind of pesky, I guess is the word. He hasn't really, really been, you know, that easy to get a hold of. You know, the White Sox smoked him, but other than that, I don't know. And it's not... Vegas doesn't like it. Let's just say that. Vegas doesn't like it. So that's the early slate. Moving on to the late slate, Red Sox, Orioles, 9 runs projected here. Hopefully no one's throwing at anyone else in this one. E-Rod going up against Wade Miley, and E-Rod is a slight favorite in this one, but both teams projected for about 4.5 runs here. Vegas doesn't really like these pitchers. They're trusting the bats in this one. 9 runs in Camden Yards. So, you know... They're telling us there could be some offense here. And there was some serious fireworks in this New York-Baltimore game right now. Tanaka's already out. Orioles already put up 7 runs, but the Yankees came back and scored 3 or 4 of their own. So it's certainly a series to watch. You get a lot of nice divisional AL East matchups here. You got Red Sox, Orioles, and Yankees, Jays, and that's the next one. 9 runs projected here. CC Sabathia goes up to the Rogers Center and starts against Marco Estrada. Jays are favored here, but not by a ton, interestingly enough. They're giving to old CC a little bit more respect. I guess, I don't know. CC has not been the same pitcher as he was last year. You know, he's had a couple instances where he's gotten absolutely shelled, and then he had a couple, you know, brilliant starts. You know, he had a couple really good ones recently against Kansas City, Tampa Bay, and the A's. He had, you know, over 40 fantasy points in almost each of those. So I don't trust Sabathia in this spot, and Vegas, you know, doesn't love him either. But the BVP, you'd think there'd be better BVP for the Jays against Sabathia, but it's not really. I mean, it's only basically a year and a half sample size, but it's not as good as you would like. It's really good for like a guy like Steve Pierce, but interesting. I'm going after Sabathia, let's say that. And Estrada is in an interesting spot, but gosh, it's scary. He's been pitching really well, but it's so scary. The Yankees are just, you know... They're home run destroyers, and they can get a hold of 2-3 balls in a real quick in a hurry, and then it's over. Diamondbacks, Marlins, 8 runs projected here. Greinke going up against Jeff Locke. Greinke will be very chalky, and he is favored in this spot, in this big ballpark, which is nice. You know, expect the roof to be closed, etc. And Jeff Locke, ugh, not great, Bob. So we're definitely interested in getting some Diamondbacks in our lineup. Whether that will be Greinke or not, we will talk about it. Minnesota, LA, 9 runs projected here, and Adalberto Mejia versus Alex Mayer. This is an Angels are favored right here, which says a lot because this you would think. That this Twins lineup, you know, would get a little bit more love against Mayer. Now, the thing about Mayer is he destroys righties, but he gets destroyed by lefties. So, you know, certainly have some interest in a guy like Max Kepler, who before this recent series was hitting the ball very, very well. You know, Mejia, not great. And the Twins' bullpen is absolutely destroyed after this start today. So, I we could get into some Angels, I think. But, of course, that I'm not going to stack them all because they're just not a very stackable team without Mike Trout in there. They're really not. They're not threatening. So, that's it. That's their 9 games. There are 8 games that we got. Let's jump into the player breakdown. And we'll figure out who we love on the early slate and who we love on the main slate. Who do you love? All right, let's talk early slate here first. If you're on the early slate, I think your best arm choice is Corey Kluber. Kluber's got the best K rate on the slate here. His strikeout rate is 25%. Yes, the walks are concerning. That's 11% walk rate. But that 25% plus K rate is nice. He gives up plenty of hard contact. That worries me too. But we're picking from four pitchers here, eight pitchers here, and Kluber certainly stands out as far as K upside, especially considering the matchup with Oakland. Oakland has plenty of Ks in this lineup, okay? They're striking out at a 25% rate to right-handed bats, you know, and certainly what you want to see, in this kind of matchup. It comes with one word of caution. I guess the thing is that the hard contact rate for Kluber against righties is rough. And if he is going to get hit, it's going to be by guys like Chad Pinder, who is just red hot right now. And I believe Chad Pinder is a righty. He may be a lefty just because there's so many freaking... Yeah, Chad Pinder and Chris Davis. That's it. Power righties in this lineup have a chance to get after him. Okay? And that's what I'm worried about, because Kluber gives up a lot of hard contact to right-handed pitching. That said, you know, he only has to get around him twice to get through six innings here. That's what I'm thinking. And I don't mind that spot for Kluber. He's had some really nice starts. The K's are there. If you want to pay up for Kluber, I think you're warranted in doing so. His price is... I don't have it in front of me. But anyway, needless to say, Vegas likes him a lot too. So that's a good sign. I think you could look at Brandon McCarthy. I have no problem with Brandon McCarthy in this spot. I think the nice thing about Brandon McCarthy is he's really predictable. Like... 6 Ks, the strikeout rate is not phenomenal, but it's pretty good. You know, it's 20% rate flat, but it goes up to 27% against righties, and it goes down to like 16% against lefties. Fine. He doesn't allow a ton of hard contact. His batted ball splits are against lefties and righties are very even. His walk rate is very low. He pretty much just goes six innings, gets six Ks, and gives up two runs, and then he gets pulled out. Which I think on a slate like this, where you kind of don't know what to expect from some of these pitchers, you know, guys like Jarrell Cotton and Chase Anderson and Zach Wheeler, you know, Wainwright I think is in play, but Vegas doesn't like him. You know, and then I'm not touching Freeland and Gallardo. Neither of those guys are trustworthy in this spot. So I think McCarthy is just trustworthy insofar as you kind of, you know, what you see is what you get. And the Cardinals are a very average offense. Yes, they hit righties better than they hit lefties. And yes, they hit Kenta Maeda, you know, pretty solidly not long ago. But I think that you can expect a decent outing from McCarthy in this spot and kind of take your 30 points and move on. But if you want that upside, that upside certainly belongs to a guy like Kluber. I initially had some interest in guys like Chase Anderson or Kyle Freeland. There's just some problems in their splits, which actually leads us into the bats conversation. So I think if you want to start... with the bats, you got to start with Cleveland against Jarrell Cotton. You know, Cotton earlier in the year was sent down to AAA because of control issues. You know, eventually we want to be able to play this guy because he's got some filthy stuff, but just now is not the time. He just, his fly ball to ground ball rate is way out of whack. He's given up way too much hard contact. His K rate, walk rate, very average. His walk rate's a little bit above average, actually. His xFIP is above 5. So, you know, you start with these Cleveland bats, and you're looking at Jarrell Cotton, who is Cotton is a righty, and so you want to look immediately at the lefties. Well, that makes good sense, you know, and we're probably going to get some quality lefties in the top of this lineup. Guys like Kipnis, guys like Brantley, guys like Zimmer. But the truth of the matter is he actually gives up a lot of his power to righties. Righties are the ones who are really turning on him. So, you know, when you see those reverse splits, you want to take advantage of that. You know, and I look at a guy like Edwin Encarnacion and Francisco Lindor, who hit righties very, very well. Those are the two that I want, you know. So maybe I'll take my two, E5 and Lindor, and I'll figure out where Kipnis and Brantley are, and Zimmer even. And, you know, kind of just strategically play with that player pool and move them around. Now, obviously, you know, obviously we got to wait for a lineup. And, I, you know, to be honest, this Cleveland team has been on this 6 o'clock schedule for so long that I'm not really sure what the lineup is going to look like today. It's projected as Kipnis, Lindor, Brantley, Santana, Encarnacion, Jose Ramirez, Bradley Zimmer. You know, and actually that's fairly interesting to me. The back half of that lineup is fairly interesting to me too. I mean, the fact that Jose Ramirez and Bradley Zimmer are batting, you know, 6 and 7 with Edwin Encarnacion in the 5-hole right there, that's pretty sexy, man. Those guys, you know, that's a lot of power in one little stretch right there in 5, 6, 7. And of course, 1 through 4 is very, very solid. So, you know, very, very interested in the Cleveland stack to start with. Obviously, you know, we need some other ideas here. And I think as far as, you know, as far as like high-priced offenses, I think a lot of people are probably going to look towards the Rockies just in name recognition against Gallardo. And I, you know, I tried to unpack the Gallardo thing, and it's just kind of, he's hard to read. He's not very, very easy to read, you know, but I think it's pretty straightforward. If you want to play the Rockies against Gallardo, it's pretty much starts with Charlie Blackmon, who is, you know, an animal against righties. He's 460 WOBA with 330 ISO. You know, you start with him and you look at Cargo, who's trending in the right direction, and maybe you just work with those two guys, you know. And other than that, I don't have a lot of interest in the Rockies. You know, they're kind of have cooled down from after that road trip when they were in Philadelphia and they were slaying. So the other offense that I'm actually pretty interested in is the Mets. You know, and the Mets, the reason that I'm interested in them is not because, you know, Chase Anderson has some good stuff. Like, you know, we look at Chase Anderson and you're immediately kind of like intrigued. Just that name value in DFS, because you know the guy has some good stuff. And he does. He's got a decent K rate, he's got some interesting splits, that kind of stuff. You look at it. Here's the issue. He sucks against lefties. He's absolutely terrible against lefties. The lefties absolutely get to Chase Anderson. He's got a 333 BABIP against them, 42% hard contact rate, and a 47% fly ball rate. And against a Mets lineup that, I mean, that's all they are is lefties. That's all they got is, you know, Conforto, you know, Reyes is back in the lineup and he can bat lefty. Bruce, Walker, Duda, Granderson, 1 through 6 can go lefty for this team. That's trouble. And they're all lefties. And Granderson. And it's Drubal Cabrera. He can go lefty too. He's a switch. I mean, you know, it's just, this is a tough matchup for Anderson. And so, you know, for me, it's going to start with Conforto, Bruce, and Duda. They're the core of what I want to do, but don't leave out Neil Walker. Don't leave out Neil Walker at all, just because, you know, he has been pretty good at, you know, getting on base, and being pretty, pretty successful. So, you know, Conforto, Bruce, Duda, all with WOBAs above 375, Conforto's above 420, Bruce 409, and then all with ISOs above 260 against righties. This season. I mean, and Walker's batting 335, you know, 185 ISO. You know, Walker, and it's this is a legit sample size. Like this is working. You know, Granderson, I think, is his source of salary relief. He's got a little bit of power, but he's kind of cold right now. I don't really want to touch that. You know, so I mean, it's Conforto, Bruce, Duda with Walker. I mean, that's a great four man, and it just, you know what you know about Anderson and lefties, and boom, there it is. Now, the reverse of this is very interesting as well, okay? You know, Zach Wheeler, pretty average, to be honest with you. 21% K rate, 10% walk rate, fine. You know, Sierra and XFIP are both above 4. You know, that's pretty average on this slate. That's not necessarily a standout. I think, though, if you want to go after him, then you do the same thing that you're doing here with Anderson, and you go for the lefties, you know, because that's where he gives up the hard contact, and it's a 48% hard contact rate to lefties. And, I mean, there's a guy named Eric Thames. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he bats left-handed, and he plays for the Milwaukee Brewers. So, I mean, you can, and actually these lineups match up pretty nicely if you think about it, because, you know, Conforto and Bruce are both outfielders. Duda's first base, but fine, okay, maybe you go over to Walker and you get Walker in there instead at second base. Thames and Shaw are both in first and third. And all of a sudden you got a nice little game stack here and you just needed some value outfielders. That sounds like a lot of fun to me on this early slate, stacking this game up. So, you know, I'm into it. I'm into it. I think that that's where I'm going to be. Other than that, not too much interest in the Dodgers-Cardinals game. You know, it's the lowest total on the slate for a reason. Both of these teams projected just at about 4 runs. Vegas is trying to tell us something there that probably is going to be a pretty boring game. All right, let's move on to the main slate here where we have not as many interesting pitchers, to be honest with you. Well, excuse me, you have more interesting pitchers, but some pitchers with hesitation, I guess I will say. That's the best way to say it. I have interest but hesitation at the same time. The first is not Marco Estrada. We'll talk about Marco Estrada in a second. First is Zach Greinke. Greinke on the road trip going down to Marlins Park. He is 10-4, and he's the most expensive pitcher on the slate, okay? He's going to be owned at least 50%, no question about it, no matter where you are, because he's just, you know, an outlier in this sense. Like, he is absolutely an outlier insofar as he has one of the highest K rates and, on paper, one of the better matchups. Like, people are going to gravitate towards Greinke, and he's already had some excellent games for people this year in the DFS world. You know, 29% K rate, 14% swinging strike rate, an XFIP of 3, Sierra of 2.9. He's been excellent. Miami, very average in all categories across the board, 20% K rate, 95 WRC plus. You know, the problem that I have is that I just totaled up Miami in their last two series. Now, their last two series are not serious opponents, okay? It was LA and it was Philadelphia. Not exactly torching, scorching hot starting rotations. Okay, just they're not. They're fine. There's a couple fine arms in those rotations. You know, Aaron Nola. I like him. I think he's going to be good. I don't like, you know, you guys know I don't like Matt Shoemaker, but he's not terrible. So those two rotations, he scored 40 runs in 6 games against those two teams. They had 3 games over 10 runs, including today. This team is fucking hot. They are really hot right now. And that starts with Justin Bour, who has been an absolute animal for them. Double dong today. He's had multiple homers in the last couple games. He is destroying righties as a lefty. And he is a problem. He will be a problem for Zach Greinke, who has pretty much given up a home run in every single one of his last starts. So certainly expecting Justin Bour to go yard against Zach Greinke. I mean, not kidding. You know, you add to that the fact that Ozuna is a reverse splits guy, and he went yard today as well. I mean, these guys are hot, and you got to be concerned about these Marlins hitters. You know, it's tilting. I typed this out. I was like, geez Louise, how do you get around Justin Bour? He's one of the hottest hitters in baseball. His fly ball rate, elevated. You know, the rest of the batted ball data is very solid, but the splits to righties and lefties, not very drastic, but he does give up home runs and he gets hit, when he gets hit hard. And he just got hit very hard in that Milwaukee series. You know, he did not pitch well in that game. But as far as the numbers go, yeah, Greinke's your best bet as far as the numbers go on this slate. I think you could look at Marco Estrada, who has some very similar you know, statistical things going on for him. Problem is he's at home against the Yankees. You know, if you thought that Marlins matchup was a problem, you know, then let's talk about this game with the Yankees. Like, the Yankees are the second best team in baseball according to WRC Plus against right-handed pitching, right behind Houston. You know, so Estrada has been excellent though. Let's talk about him. He just pitched 7 innings to the Yankees earlier this year. He gave up 1 run. He's got a 27% K rate, 12% swinging strike rate, 6% walk rate. His fly ball rate is up. Sound familiar? Same with Greinke. A lot of these power pitchers who are strikeout pitchers who have great fastballs and sliders, that's what they have. They have a problem with fly balls because the ball goes far when you throw it that hard. You know, all you got to do is get under it. But the hard contact is down. Sierra, XFIP, 3-3 matching. You know, there's a lot that you like about Estrada. He's gotten some of his best numbers of his career this year, 2017. 8 of his last 10 starts have been quality starts, and he just had a double-digit K game. You know, the problem, like I said, is the Yankees. They're kind of average in hard hit rate, but they're one of the best home run hitting teams in baseball. They have one of the best home run to fly ball ratios in the league. Estrada does give up home runs. You know, it's worrisome. I guess the question is it more worrisome than facing the Marlins? I don't know. You know, I'm telling you, this Marlins team is not a joke. You look at a name value and people are like, oh, it's just the Marlins. You know, Marlins are pretty dangerous right now. I'm not touching them. You know, the one thing that I will say in Greinke's favor, massive ballpark advantage. The Rogers Center is not nearly the pitcher's park. It's actually the opposite. It's a hitter's park versus, you know, that massive Marlins ballpark, which will have the roof closed. So in that respect, Greinke does have an advantage, but he's also $1,200 more expensive. You know, the other guy, though, that's right there at 9K is Erod, and it's very interesting to me to see Eduardo Rodriguez's price this high, and he's got the Orioles. This actually might be the best matchup, okay? You got an average offense, but an elevated K rate, right? Miami's an average offense by the numbers. Not recently, but a very, very average K rate. Well, the Orioles are average across the board against lefties, but they own a 25% K rate. We know that they swing like hell against left-handed pitching. That's fifth in the league, okay? That's the fifth highest strikeout rate in the league to left-handed pitching. And, you know, Erod's been very consistent for the Red Sox. He's got a 26% strikeout rate, 12% swinging strike rate, XFIP of 4, Sierra of 3.8, you know, which is probably because he gives up a few too many walks every once in a while, and he also gives up, you know, some power to righties. He does, you know. That's where he struggles. He does get hit by righties, and I remember distinctly watching him on Sunday Night Baseball get hit by Chris Bryant. Every single time Chris Bryant went to the plate, he hit him, and he was the only guy who could hit him, but he hit him. You know, and I immediately, you know, when I'm looking at Erod in this spot, I'm thinking of Manny Machado. You know, but the reality is the Orioles are kind of been hot and cold. You know, Adam Jones woke up tonight, you know, but Mark Trumbo just doesn't really scare me right now. You know, you have Chris Davis, who's a guaranteed 2 strikeouts as a lefty against a lefty here. You know, I guess the concern that you have really is basically Machado, and John Schoep, and Adam Jones. You know, those are the righties. Those are the guys who are going to get to you. You know, and that's real. That's serious concern because you're playing in Fenway, and that's a hard place to pitch. Hard place to pitch as a lefty to righties. So, you know, Erod, I like him a lot. I've liked him a lot this year. I don't know what you're going to get out of him, but I do think he has a lot of K upside. I just also think that he could get hard hit, you know. And, you know, looking at some of his recent data, he's got the highest batted ball distance, you know, of late on the slate. He's got 235 feet. You know, but that said, he's also got some of the best strikeout stuff. So I don't mind E-Rod in this spot. Now, the bats are a little bit more obvious. Let's move over to the bats on the main slate. I think, you know, on the main slate, you got to look at Toronto. I mean, we're going to look at Toronto, guys, until they're all priced at $4,000, which is coming, man. It's coming. They're going to be really expensive here very, very shortly. But they are going up against CC Sabathia. Now, CC has had some excellent starts recently. He really has. He's had some excellent starts of late. Very impressive stuff in his last two starts against Tampa Bay, Kansas City. Very good stuff, but I just don't really see him getting around this Toronto lineup, considering how well they're hitting the ball, how dangerous they are 1-6. You know, he's got a 34% fly ball rate, and he's really not striking people out in the way that he used to be. 18% strikeout rate. You know, and the splits are telling us it's the right-handed bats that are getting to him. So let's start with Donaldson, who rested today and will likely be back in the lineup, and Smoke Monster. Of course, Smoke Monster is, I think the news is out that, you know, Justin Smoke is an animal. I hope the news is out. He's a beast. He's going to be expensive, but he's totally worth it. You know, they both have a 400 wOBA this year with ISOs to match against left-handed pitching. You know, Kevin Pillar usually bats leadoff for them in these situations. Hopefully Devon Travis can find his way up in the lineup again a little bit. He played really well today against the Reds. So if he finds his way up there, I like Pillar and Travis. But you are paying a premium for Pillar, you know, who really doesn't have a lot of power. The advantage that you have is that, you know, he's going to probably be batting leadoff in an offense that you want shares of. It's just kind of a lot of big price to pay. So I'm not too into Pillar. I don't think you have to have Pillar. You know, $3,300, that's not terrible. But, you know, he's not really a home run guy. Devon Travis actually has more home run upside, but we'll see if he's in, you know, in the top of that lineup. I don't really know what you're going to see against Sabathia here. So, you know, Smoke, obviously, also, you got to look at a guy like Kendrys Morales here. Kendrys Morales is, you know, he's batting switch, and he hits righties and lefties. I think what led me to Smoke is that Kendrys Morales BVP versus CC is not very good. And in fact, in some of these divisional matchups, guys, feel free to look at some of the BVP, because you're going to get larger sample sizes. You know, you get like 20, 30, 40 at bats in these divisional, you know, things like that. Yeah, I mean, Kendrys Morales only has a 310 wOBA against CC with 110 ISO, you know, whereas guys like Smoke is destroying him at 378 wOBA and a 300 ISO, but that was basically just last year's plate appearances, but he's got two dingers on him. You know, Joey Bats' numbers just really aren't that good against him. So, you know, definitely, and neither are Josh Donaldson's, to be honest, but I just think I trust Donaldson a little bit more to regress over last season than Sabathia to continue to, you know, strike everybody out. I don't really think that's going to happen. All right, moving on, though, I think we got to look at Arizona, and the reason that we got to look at Arizona is Jeff Locke just can't strike anybody out. You know, nothing stands out at exceptionally bad when you look at Jeff Locke's numbers, except for the fact that he only has a 12% strikeout rate and a 4.9 xFIP. That's bad. 5 Sierra, that's where it's like bad. You're like, oh, his batted ball data is not that bad. It's the strikeout rate where he gets it. So, you know, we're starting with the righties here against Locke. It's Goldie, Owings, and Tomas. That's where I want. Those are usually guys in the 1 through 5 spots. That's that three-man stack that I want. In fact, what I'm looking at here projected, this will be 3, 4, 5. Drury maybe in the 6 hole there as well. You know, Nick Ahmed has been creeping up in that lineup, so Drury and Ahmed are always cheaper options that you can get associated with this lineup. And, you know, if Ahmed is back up in the top, in the number 2 hole, in the 2 hole, definitely interested in him because he's just, basically he's free. Still think he's like $2,500, so certainly have some interest in him. You know, they just don't strike anybody out. All right. So let's talk a little bit about some of these other spots, because I think, you know, people are going to look at Boston and be very interested in them against Wade Miley. I like them, obviously. I think Boston is in a good spot. You know, they have been hitting much better. You know, they're hitting lefties, especially, you know, certainly is a good spot for them, to against Miley. Miley, though, you know, the batted ball data on Miley is, it kind of reveals that, like, you know, there's limited upside to him. Does he get strikeouts? No. Does he allow hits? Yes, and Vegas is projecting quite a few runs here. But a 65% ground ball rate isn't exactly what I want out of my stack. You know, I don't, and a 21% fly ball rate, I mean, Miley's just kind of, he's going to take the air out of the ball. And you don't have a lot of power in this lineup to begin with. You take away, you know, that line drive rate, you take away the ability of Boston to get on base and, you know, move the base paths. It just doesn't really interest me. You know, the ground ball thing, 36% hard contact. Yes, that's not good. Or excuse me, that's, you know, that's targetable. It's on the borderline of like, give me some of that. But it just, that ground ball rate just kind of concerns me. And he has the lowest, batted ball distance on the slate. I'm just not that interested in it. And it'll be chalky. On a small slate like this, people love Boston. They love Boston. I think the place where you might be able to get leverage, because no one's going to know how to make up their fucking mind about this game, is the Twins-Angels game. You know, and Adalberto Mejia, he's fine, man. You know, like, he is a pretty average, serviceable pitcher. Like, no joke. 20% K rate, you know, its walk rate's too high, but, you know, what are you going to do? XFIP of 5 because of the walk rate, but it's, you know, it's only like a second year. He's 23 years old. I just don't necessarily love this Angels lineup without Mike Trout in it. That said, I have no problem with some of the righties in the top of this order, and the reason is that the Twins bullpen is worked. Absolutely whipped. 17 runs today, the Astros. They gave up tons of runs. They had nothing left in the tank against this Astros team. They were pitching Chris Giménez, a catcher, against the Astros in the 8th inning. And, you know, it was a disaster. It was a disaster. And, you know, they're taking that team on the road right now to go to the Angels. You know, so I, based on the Angels lineup, we'll see. I could see myself starting, you know, some of the guys at the top of this lineup, you know, Andrelton Simmons, Cam Maybin, maybe, you know, just to try to get to a volume of plate appearances against this Twins team. And Mejia, who's going to walk guys, and then they're going to have to go to the bullpen at some point. The bullpen is whipped, like I said. So, you know, the righties in the Angels lineup are very interesting to me. On the Twins side of things, it's Max Kepler, because Alex Mayer, you know, he's coming back from the DL, and he has a really nice strikeout rate, to be honest with you. You know, it's actually pretty solid. The problem is you break it down, and the kid is pretty much golden against right-handed pitching. But God, is he bad against lefties. Like, really very bad against lefties. In fact, let me pull up these splits for you, because I was actually blown away. Okay, so he has a 22% walk rate against left-handed batters. All right. He has an XFIP of 6.1 against lefties. He gives up 44% fly balls to 28% balls, lefties to righties. Okay, all the home runs this season have come off of lefties. It's just he's not pitching the lefties very well. So certainly have some interest in Max Kepler. That's it, man. I mean, Max Kepler against him. You know, if there's one lefty who could get to him, it's probably Max Kepler. So give me a little Max Kepler in there. I have no problem with a Max Kepler one-off who is pretty inexpensive. You know, and I think that that's where maybe you get some of your salary relief is a combination of the, you know, maybe some cheapy twins, you know, and then some cheap guys in the top of the order for the Angels who are going to see a lot of volume there. Just, you know, volume leads to production. These guys are Major League Baseball players for a reason. All right, let's go ahead and jump over to FanDuel, and let's see if we can throw together a lineup for the early slate and a lineup for the late slate. All right, so over on the early slate, for some reason, by the way, guys, on the early slate for FanDuel, they do not have the Seattle Colorado game featured on there, so that's in the all day slate only. Makes a lot of sense. Not really sure. I don't know why they do that. I guess they want it to close before 5 o'clock so people can get into the main slate, I guess. I'm not really sure. Anyway, so on the early slate, went with Kluber, which, by the way, and I totally overlooked this news portion, and I apologize just because I saw him and immediately went to the stats. Kluber is coming off the DL. So if we get news that he's on a pitch count, not that interested in Corey Kluber. But let's say he's not on a pitch count, okay? Let's say we've got Kluber in here. He's 10K. So I went with Kluber, and then I immediately went over to this Milwaukee-New York game. I knew I wanted shares of this. So looking at all the lefties, if Sogard is batting leadoff again, I like him as cheap salary relief. And I went with Eric Thames. He's too cheap. He's $2,900. You know, and we know he's got an advantage here against lefties. So, you know, Thames paired with Shaw and Sogard, it's a 1-2 tonight, 1-2 and 4. So I like that a lot. And then I wanted to get some of the Mets lefties. So I knew Neil Walker there. And I originally with Michael Conforto, but Michael Conforto ended up being too expensive. So I went with Jay Bruce. And so I have Neil Walker and Jay Bruce, who actually should be 2-3 in that lineup, or 3-4 if I'm actually, 3-4 if I'm correct, which is nice. Definitely have some power upside in both of those guys against Zach Davies, against Chase Anderson as lefties. And then went over to the Cleveland game to fill out my outfield, and actually really liked the way this went because Bradley Zimmer is super duper cheap. And Michael Brantley, and he both were there in the outfield spot. Now, you know, the only thing that I considered was the fact that Francisco Lindor is pretty inexpensive, and I really like his price. He's $3,200 at shortstop. You know, that's $500 more than what I was but let's say I can't play Kluber because there's a pitch count, it's $500 more than Eric Sogard. But let's say I can't play Kluber, I go down to Brandon McCarthy. Then, you know, I'm going to probably end up getting Francisco Lindor in there over Sogard just because there's a lot more power upside in his bat. And, let's take a look at that. So let's say Kluber gets the pitch count. That's going to leave me with a little bit of extra cash. And what I'm going to do with that money is I'm probably just going to go immediately to Francisco Lindor over Sogard. And then I'm going to go to Michael Conforto in the outfield, and I'm gonna go to I'm just gonna upgrade my catcher to a guy like Rene Rivera, who's actually, interestingly enough, one of the hotter hitters in baseball right now. He's been playing really well. Or Yan Gomes, maybe. Yeah, if Yan Gomes is actually near Bradley Zimmer in the lineup, that'd be a nice correlation play, because Brantley and Lindor are near each other, you know. And then I have my two-man Milwaukee, two-man Mets, along with the, you know, kind of a core of Cleveland guys. So that actually works really well. I like that quite a bit. So that's Yan Gomes, Eric Thames, Neil Walker, Travis Shaw, Francisco Lindor, Conforto, Zimmer, Brantley. That works out pretty well based on what I'm seeing here. So that's a great lineup. Like that one. Going to save that one. Look back at it tomorrow. And then on the main slate, you know, you're paying a little bit more for bats, but I kind of took an interesting approach here. So I kind of, you know, immediately went, I didn't pick my pitcher. Let's say that I picked my bats first. And I was at first base and I'm shopping around over at first base and I'm thinking to myself, okay, Goldie. Yeah, obviously very expensive. Great spot though. Okay, fine. Okay. Justin Smoke, probably going to be chalky. Mitch Moreland, Kendrys Morales, that's a nice price. Go down to my man Justin Bour. Not only is he probably going to be be lower owned, but he's cheaper. He's $3,100, massive power upside right there. Not to mention freaking Matt Holliday, still $2,800. Doesn't make sense. I mean, even against Marco Estrada, Holliday is dangerous against Estrada. Anyway, all right, so I immediately went with Justin Bour. And then I was like, okay, second base, third base, outfield, what do we got? So I went second base, I went to Brandon Drury, Chris Owings, and Yasmani Tomas. Those are the other righties that I wanted to have from the Arizona game anyway, if it wasn't Goldie. So I got those two guys. Brandon Drury is free, Chris Owings is $2,900, and Yasmani Tomas, $3,600. We know he has power upside. So I got Yasmani in there as well. So the three-man Arizona stack. And then I had third base and outfield open. So I went to Donaldson immediately and Joey Bats, who are very expensive, but they fit in nicely there as a pair because I wanted exposure to Toronto. Now, this left me with catcher and outfield. So there's a couple ways that I could go with this. I could go with Kevin Pillar as the leadoff and add, you know, one more Toronto bat for sure. You know, and Pillar batting in that leadoff spot behind Donaldson and Bautista, who will probably be, my guess would be 3 and 4, or maybe 2 and 4 in that lineup, because Smoke will be 5. And I don't know where Morales will be, probably in the 3 hole. So yeah, probably 2 and 4 for Donaldson and Bautista. But I also was thinking about leverage here in this spot, and I thought of a guy who probably will go overlooked against Alex Mayer, and that's Max Kepler, who was $3,400. And there's, you know, there's just leverage there. And if I'm already going with a leverage play in, I'm going with a leverage play in Justin Bour. Okay, maybe I go with two leverage plays and then kind of some chalk in the middle. And I like that, you know. I wanted to differentiate a little bit there, and that's how you get it. Now, the other way you can do this, and this works pretty well, was it was pretty easy for me to go first base, Mitch Moreland, and outfield. And I actually almost did this, Mitch Moreland and Andrew Benintendi, because they were both $3,300. And then you punt catcher, $2,200 catcher. And my guess is that we will get one of these guys down here. Hopefully we'll get one of these guys at punt catcher. If the lowest that we get to go is Caleb Joseph, that's going to be a little bit tough because we want a punt catcher. And oh, sorry, at pitcher, E-Rod. E-Rod, 9K, fits right in there. So this is one version of it with E-Rod, Caleb Joseph at catcher, Justin Bour, Brandon Drury, Josh Donaldson, Chris Owings, Yasmani Tomas, Joey Bautista, and Max Kepler, or E-Rod with, and we'll have to see who else we can punt catcher with, maybe Jeff Mathis, maybe Francisco Pena, somebody like that. I don't think Chris Jimenez will be in the lineup, but we'll see. Mitch Moreland, Brandon Drury, Josh Donaldson, Chris Owings, Yasmani Tomas, Joey Bautista. The other way you can do this is you can do a full four-man, you can do a full four-man Toronto stack if you want. And Kendrys Morales and Kevin Pillar fit in there at 3,300 each as well. It depends on how much, you know, how much variance you want. You know, there you have Kendrys Morales, Brandon Drury, Josh Donaldson, Chris Owings, Yasmani Tomas, Joey Bats, and Kevin Pillar. So four-man Toronto stack, three-man Arizona stack with E-Rod. That's super viable. That's really nice. I like that a lot. I just decided that at first in outfield, you get a little bit of leverage in going with Justin Bour and Max Kepler, because people aren't going to play them. They're going to be lower owned than some of these other guys, and you know, they give me a little bit of salary relief, so I can play Caleb Joseph, who I know will be in the lineup because Wellington Castillo is out with an injury. You know, and I think that's a nice play to get a little bit of guys with power upside who may go overlooked in a lineup that is otherwise relatively chalky with Arizona and Toronto. All right, so that's it, guys. Good luck in your contest. As I mentioned before, it is June 1, so the Patreon cheat sheets are live, and $10 will get you a full month subscription to our Patreon. To our lineup logic cheat sheets as well as the Slack channel. Get in there. Totally worthwhile investment. Looking forward to having new members in there, and looking forward to continuing to grow this community as we move into June. There's going to be some new things, hopefully. All right, good luck in your contest, and I will see you tomorrow.